Notes. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 154 of Geek Grills, geeky podcast hosted by women. And now we talk a lot about women and those topics that interest us in particular. Welcome to our format. I am September, also known as 9 of 12, and I am joined by one of my co-hosts, Linda.
Hello.
The Jen could not join us today because she's snurfy. That's all we know. Today's topic will be Katie Sowers. She was made some history recently during the Super Bowl, and we wanted to talk about that. So what have you been up to this geeky week, Linda?
So, first of all, there was a big, saga of this big commission that I had by this lady, and it's got to the point where I still have some of the things that for her, and she still has some of the money for me, but she was in the hospital, so that's been put on hold. But the shoes that weren't the right color, I actually have placed some nice maroon bows on, so they are Saturn shoes, I'm going to call them, because they're purple, like, house shoe, mm-hmm. And then I put some big old bows on the front of it that kind of look like her bows, so I'm going to call them Sailor Saturn shoes and take them with me to MomoCon. Let's see. I made a bunch of Artemis hats to go with my Luna hats.
He's so fluffy, I'm going to die!
So I've got the big white fluffy kitty hats with the moon on them to go with the Luna hats. Let's see. So I tried my hand at making my own pattern. Now, I don't know if I have said before, but I don't like making my own patterns because they involve a lot of math. and it's just more math than you would think goes into making a crochet pattern. But I tried.
I feel your pain.
I was, the first attempt, I was aiming for a baby Eastern dragon, and I got Whimsical Ferret. it's very cute. He is mine now. This is my Whimsical Ferret. So he's probably going to become my little mascot. The second attempt, however, I managed a baby Eastern dragon. He's got the little snaky thing and some little whiskers and little horns. So that one actually succeeded.
Yay.
And I can say I have written my own pattern now, which is, you know, a step of success, I suppose.
Achievement unlocked.
Achievo unlocked. Which all of the stuff that I like talk about on the podcast, I have on my Instagram. So I'm going to add that in at the end of where you can find me on the internet, because that makes sense. And then I made a little Yoshi. He's pretty big, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
He's bigger than my head, but I've made a Yoshi to take with me. Hello. Sorry, he almost fell over. So I'm going to be making more of them. I don't know if I'm going to do, like, the rainbow colors, because there's a whole, like, set of rainbow Yoshis, but I'm at least going to make a bunch of these, probably, like, five or
it's
six
really
green
epic
ones. Yeah, he's so squishy. He's made of, like, super squishy yarn. And then a non-crochet thing that I had the time to make, finally, for my next LARP character is a French hood. So I actually managed to get that made.
Fancy. Dang.
It took 9 sticks of hot glue, but I managed it. And it's really light because it's made of foam. So all I have to do is add some, like, jewels on it, maybe some pearly things. I don't know. Right now it's looking a little bare besides the frills on the front.
I'm impressed.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been working on my D&D adventure. I got some writing on that done. I got some poetry books from the library because I'm going to try my hand at ASMR recording. And because so my little concept is, you know, the sleepy poet. So you're just a poetry reading for nighttime. And I've got like 4 or 5 books. And one of them is The Love Poems of Lord Byron. And oh my God, I was dying. It is so, I know he was, you know, it's from a romantic, you know, like the romantic era. And, but, oh, it's so funny. I'm going to try and get through them like while I'm recording without laughing. But let me just for your listening pleasure, I'm not going to whisper it because it's not the point. He is so dramatic. The first one, I'm just going to read one stanza. To Caroline, think'st thou I saw thy beauteous eyes, suffused in tears, implore to stay, and heard unmoved thy plenteous sighs, which said far more than words can say. The next poem is to Ellen. To Ellen. Oh, might I kiss those eyes of fire, a million scarce would quench desire, still would I steep my lips in bliss, and dwell an age on every kiss. The next one, it's lovely. The next one is to woman.
Woman.
To woman.
There you go. Read that one like animal.
I can't do the voice. woman, with an exclamation point. Experience might have told me that all must love thee who behold thee. Surely experience might have taught thy firmest promises are not. It's like, wow, who hurt you, man?
Mm-hmm.
It's too great. It's great.
I think I know her.
It's to Mary, to Lesbia. Let's see. To a beautiful Quaker. To a lady who presented the author with the velvet band which bound her tresses. It's so dramatic, and like I love it, but I'm also like laughing my ass off and trying not to laugh when I record.
Oh, yeah.
But I also got like the poems of Poe. I've got Shakespearean sonnets, so we're gonna give it a whirl.
I was actually sharing some of my favorite Poe poems with my husband this week.
Don't expect it anytime soon, though, because I have to, like, record and then also edit and also figure out YouTube. And then, finally, I actually got to watch Frozen 2, because I didn't go see it in theaters, because Frozen, I was, like, meh about. I actually like Tangled much more than Frozen, mm-hmm. And I know some people think that's, oh my gosh, but, like, no. Tangled is a better movie. But I actually enjoyed Frozen 2. I liked it better than the first one. The songs and the music in it are incredible because they, like, actually weave their themes together really nicely. So, yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, the whole Lost in the Woods being, like, a 80s video and something, like, you know, Chicago or something. We laughed
that was so hard, I was crying. That was the one thing that I was like, okay, I'll go with you for this, but why?
it was very much for people of a certain age.
Yeah.
Because like, it had every trope from music videos from back in the day that are taking our grandchildren now to see that movie.
The homage to Queen and all that good stuff, yeah.
Yes.
So that's me.
I finally succeeded, in making the cutlery holder I was talking about before. I looked at a few different patterns and designs, and then I had math issues because, well, I'm also stupid. I was watching the tutorial for the one I wanted to do, which instead of a roll-up, because then I had to worry about if I'm going to attach ribbon or Velcro and how it's going to fix and if those things would come off. But I found one that's more just like a pouch, and it has a fold-over flap that you just tuck into, you know, a little thingy. And I was like, all right, this is a much better design. This one I want to use. And she was using metric. My cutting mat's not in metric, and my yardstick isn't in metric. And those are kind of my go-tos for measuring fabric. So I'm trying to convert it. And then you have to alter it a little bit depending on what silverware you're putting in it. And so I ended up, well, completely failing at one, thinking inside out, that you have to sometimes do when you're sewing. Because you sew it a certain way and then turn it right back side out. And I had only watched the tutorial through once. So I failed at one completely. And then I gave it another go and just kind of did a more winging it. Because I've never used a pattern in my life. Like the actual cutout, pin on, whatever, ever, for anything I've ever sewn. I'm much better at just like looking at it, figuring it out, making it. So far, anyway. I'm sure when I get good enough for garments, that will not be true. But I successfully made one. Yay! And I gifted it to my friend who gave me the idea, because she was like, I want this. I know other people that use them. These would be great for your little shelf at the, country store at the market, or at the coffee shop. I was like, you know what? I think you're right. So now I've done a prototype, and I figure, okay, I'm good. Now I can just kind of assembly line it. And then I was going to measure something else and went, oh. And I went to my husband directly. I was like, okay, I'm always giving you shit for using the wrong tool for the job. Because it's something that makes me nuts. It's like kind of a pet peeve. Like he broke my skill saw trying to cut a 2x4 with it. And I like, no. Use the right tool for the job. That way you don't hurt yourself. Same thing with cooking, whatever. And I grabbed my measuring tape. Like cloth measuring tape, for fabric and taking measurements on people. I went, oh, honey, look, see? Remember that problem I was having with the metric conversion? He's like, yeah, I told you what centimeters to inches was. That wasn't the problem I was having. What the problem I was having was I used the wrong tool, because cloth measuring tapes have centimeters on one side and inches on the other. I've got like probably 15 of those laying around. And when I was doing all the math conversion for that pattern, it never occurred to me to grab the right tool.
Whoops.
But now, the more I know, it'll be much easier to make a bunch of those. Made some bread using Rob's family's Anna Dama bread recipe, but instead of the water, we use a local brew. There's a hard seltzer that has been aged in port barrels by Fourth Creek Brewing. And of course, we're in the beer club, and we got to try it first, and my first thing is always, what can I cook with this? And we ended up deciding that bread would be a good idea, and it turned out fantastic, and we took that to the brewery to share. Another funny note on bread with the whole COVID-19 panic, when my 16-year-old noticed there was no bread in the store, he said, hey, look, there's plenty of flour. We should sell bread.
Yeah.
Like, why is there plenty of flour? Why don't people just make bread? I'm like, honey, we're... it doesn't occur to other people.
To make that, yeah.
It really just doesn't, that you could just, if you have water, yeast, flour, salt, like, you can make bread. I was like, that, you're right, that doesn't occur to other people. So, we'll see. I don't think I'll sell it. I very well may put a call out for, like, giving away some more bread, because I have plenty of stuff. Did a little gardening. We've got little salad greens coming up I'm excited about, and it's now warm enough that I can get my sunflowers in and some spring bulbs. We watched the whole new season of Altered Carbon, which is how Poe came up. I got new glasses. Those of you who watch us live may notice I no longer have the horrible glare, because I broke my glasses a little while ago, and the old ones didn't have the anti-glare in, and it was really distracting to me, even looking at myself on stream when I didn't have it. And other than that, we've started watching Agretsuko again, because we just want little short, funny, lighthearted things at night after all the stressful days that have been going on.
It's the best little series. It's so funny.
I love it so much. I have Agretsuko socks.
Yay!
There's like Monday through Friday, and they're all different with how angry she is. So on with that, on to our discussion topic. So we're going to talk about Katie Sowers. Katie Sowers made history as the first woman and the first openly gay person to coach in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. And I apologize. I don't watch the Super Bowl. I don't have a lot of things to do with the footballs. I will do my best.
Yeah.
So, a little bit of backstory. I went to a school that was undefeated in football for all 4 years that I went. So I basically had 6 years of football crammed into four. And I was done by the end of it. So I went to a college that had no football team.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I know how football works, but I was only there because I was in the marching band.
I understand. Well, apparently, Kitty was inspired by, what's her name? Becky Hammond. Back in 2014, Becky Hammond was named the first female coach of the NBA. And back then, Katie Sowers tweeted, coming for the NFL.
Nice.
And guess what? She got there.
That's really cool. I'm interested to see.
So she was born in Kansas in a really small town, like 3,800 people. And used to play, you know, a lot of backyard football.
She's my age.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I just realized that. Well, of course. She played backyard football because, you know, she found out she was good at it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she also apparently competed in soccer, basketball, track, and field. little
sporty. All around sporty. I don't know how that works. My sport is crochet.
I mean, I never did any coaching, but I used to play. I was one of, there were just a lot more boys than girls in my neighborhood, so I played a lot of sports growing up and watched a lot of more hockey than football. So that's kind of my attachment. But none of my boys give a crap, and my husband doesn't give a crap, so the only time, but I still take over the TV for the Super Bowl and for the Stanley Cup. I enjoy watching them. although now we're cord cutters, so I have to go to the bar, and I don't like that so much because
I would assume it gets loud and like raucous.
Yes, and like you're trying to watch, and people are yelling, and sometimes they're saying really stupid shit, like these dudes with all their sports regalia on, and they say some dumb shit like they don't even actually understand the game. And you know, it's you can speak up, but you don't want to have that argument generally. Once in a while I might be inspired to, like if it's a team I give a crap about, but not generally. And it's hard to have that as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, less and less these days, I think. Like, they don't just, they can't get away. I feel like men can't get away so much anymore with just like, oh, whatever, you know what you're talking about, you're a woman. There does seem to be less of that going on. And if they would have pulled it during the Super Bowl, I would have been able to point at Katie and say, see the coach right there? You need to calm down and go read a rule book or something.
I'm curious, actually, what is a seasonal offensive assistant, or an offensive assistant, because that's her job title. Her coach title is offensive assistant. I assume that means she works with the offensive side of the team and is, you know, helping them with plays and such.
Yes.
I remember some of the terminology. I don't remember all of it because I didn't care that much, but you know, I remember first down, second down, that kind of thing.
There's an offense and a defense.
Right? Offense and a defense and the yard lines. And I remember yard lines. Yard lines were very important to the marching band.
Okay, so in the coaching part, the offensive assistants are basically the offense coach, and then the defensive ones they call coordinators. Like, they call them, I don't know why they call them something differently. but they basically make the game plan for whether you're on offense, whether you're on defense. So, depending on your possession time, one can do I mean, they're doing the same amount of work in all the practices. They're creating the strategy, but making the calls on the fly is something that, like, the head coach would do. But they are basically designing all those plays, is my understanding. If anyone out there wants to correct me, feel perfectly free.
Yeah, you can email us.
but apparently she joined the NFL first as a wide receivers intern with the Atlanta Falcons in 2016. And then she stayed as an intern scout until she went to the 49ers in 2017. Mm-hmm. And then she was hired as part of a diversity initiative. And tough people deal with it. I mean, it's still needed.
I'm sure that she's like, I mean, you don't get that position without being talented, but it also seems kind of a little bit like right place, right time, because that the diversity thing.
But so I mean, she already had a couple years with the NFL.
It was just the right time, I think, because then they went on to the Super Bowl, and
yeah.
She made history.
Yes. And so, openly gay, which
yeah.
We know there have been issues in the past and, you know, all the major league sports. And again, another place I think the world has made some progress, and having people to represent and be iconic figures and make history with this is a good example. It can be hopeful, I think, for people who struggle, you know, coming out and all that. So it's good to have heroes, like, that you can identify with.
Yeah. It's always good to have, like, a role model. 'Cause you know, for me especially, you know, it was easy for me because I fit the norm, you know, and also I'm blonde hair with blue eyes. So I had a lot, you know, especially from, like, the big entertainment, you know, I could be like, oh, there's a role model. Oh, there's a role model looks like me, you know, that kind of thing. It's really important for other folks to also have those role models. And I'm really, really happy that more and more we're getting that.
And she seems to take that very seriously. I mean, I'm looking at tweets from her in January. January 14, 2020. If your daughter has a dream of becoming a football coach in the NFL, or a ballerina, or a professional soccer player, or a teacher, or a nurse, or a doctor, or an astronaut, or even president, just let her know this. She can do it, and she will change the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
so
a good...
She's...
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say something, and then my cat tried to steal one of my crocheted things off the table. I'm really glad that she is kind of taking that on as, like, not like her job, but, you know, she's being a positive influence in the world, because we need those.
Well, yeah, and that she fought like hell for it. I really appreciate her in general. Apparently, when her collegiate days playing ended, she asked about taking a position as a volunteer assistant coach at Goshen women's basketball team, and she was turned down because of her sexual orientation.
Well,
like, that's kind of nuts. Like, even that, even in a women's league,
they done messed up. They done messed up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's real. Sorry, I just read she has a twin sister who plays football as a wide receiver. That's really cool.
Right on.
Sweet.
Yeah, I saw some stuff about they used to play together as kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if they're fraternal or identical, because they could have been like, I just, if they're identical, you know, I can imagine them like confusing everyone on the field.
That's why it was numbers on the jerseys.
Yeah, I know, but if it's fraternal, it doesn't matter. But if they were just playing kind of before they played like professionally, if they were just playing to play.
Now I'm just curious. Yeah.
So that's off the topic, but I just that is an image I find funny in my head.
Yes. It's the ultimate deking out. Mm-hmm. So anyway, thank you, Katie Sowers, for being a role model.
Yes.
Yay. And making history.
Keep it up. I hope to see more of you in the future.
Absolutely. Now, folks, if you have anything to say about our show today, please chime in by emailing us at geekgrills@gmail.com or tweet us at geekgrills. So what are you most anticipating coming up, Linda?
Well, due to the fact that several obligations have recently been canceled, which, you know, I'm a little sad about because In Plain Sight has been postponed. Several of my LARPs have been postponed, and I don't blame them for doing that. It's actually very responsible of them. I have a lot of downtime coming up, so I've got some free weekends. I'm probably going to spend them like crocheting to try and get most of my stock done for MomoCon, so I can get that done like with maybe a month to spare. That'd be really cool. I'm hoping that MomoCon doesn't get canceled, but we're just going to have to see what the state of things is by the time that rolls around to the end of May. And I'm planning on doing a bunch of writing. I'm hoping to get more of my D&D adventure written down, maybe formatted, I don't know. And edit, what do I do with free time? I'm not sure.
Well, I feel like I'm going to have plenty to do. We haven't had full shutdown here, although the first probable confirmed case just happened in my county. So we'll see what's going on. Rob has a bunch of gigs coming up, and there's only been one cancellation so far. I know the brewery's like, until the state makes us, we're open. Some of the grocery stores are closing a little earlier, and I went and got my inspection updated today, and I'm gonna get my Instacart stuff back in order and start doing that. I figured that's a really good way that I can fill the needs of people who can't leave their homes right now.
Yeah.
And get paid, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I'll do some free stuff too, but
but getting paid, yeah.
getting paid is okay. I want to host a little craft night, because they do have the school shut down, a minimum of 2 weeks right now around the state. My kid's school they're closed today and tomorrow, but starting on Wednesday and until further notice, they're doing e-learning. And a lot of the schools are doing this too. So it's not just like you could log in and get your assignments and do them even, like you could if it's a college course. This is people at home with their kids who they have to log in to conference calls, check in every period, attendance is being taken so the state can keep track of attendance. Tardies are going to be counted. This is going to be very stressful for me being here. Rob is working from home, and that's one thing, but I seriously have concern, and I worry about all the people, like, if both parents work, what the hell? How they're managing this is concerning. The community here is really good and tight-knit about stepping up. I mean, they are immediately, the grocery stores are just taking donations, and people are setting up drive-through pickup food at the schools for certain hours during the day for kids who mostly get their meals from school.
Yeah.
So I'll probably participate in some of that as well as I can. But the craft night is kind of my idea of, although the federal recommendation now is 10 people or less for gatherings, I'm going to talk to a handful of my local ladies. You know, no one's symptomatic or whatever, come on over. I've got a Switch. I've got an Xbox. We've got 4 gaming computers. We have high-speed internet. We've got board games. We'll, like, the kids can play games. I won trivia last week and got a bottle of Prosecco. I am steeping some tea with herbs, or some vodka with herbs right now. So we will have some cocktails and I've got 2 sewing machines. the kids can play video games and we will drink and make stuff. And I think that's a good mental health gathering that's small enough to be legal. And what the hell, I might do it weekly if that works out.
I mean, why not? Because it's nice to, like, have little gathers like that.
Yeah. My eldest son is concerned. He's in Wake County, and it's, you can't get anything there, disaster. They're using SHIP to get whatever they can and not leaving the house. They're actually sick. His girlfriend works in a childcare industry. And they both have some kind of virus. They're on Tamiflu, so they're feeling a little better, but they're not in a category where they're able to get a test.
Right.
So they're kind of holing up, and he's like, you know what? I knew you, you know, I figured you're good for pantry stuff because I know who you are. And he's like, yeah, me too. I figure we could push it 4 to 6 weeks. I have enough food, but they just shut down all the schools. And he's concerned that his neighbors, he lives around a lot of college students that probably have food security issues. I mean, they use their student aid to get their meals, you know, stuff, cards for the college, and all the colleges shut down in North Carolina. And he wants to figure out how to spread, you know, the wealth, but he's like, but I can't legally, like, share anything from my kitchen because we own a pet. I'm like, honey, there's nothing about legal or illegal about have a potluck and send people home with stuff. Because my first reaction, he was like, oh, I'd like to come and home and visit, but everyone here would starve. I'm like, is that because you're the only cook in the house, or are you just first on the list for harvesting? But, yeah, I did teach him to cook, and I told him to hit me up for any advice. I did pass that on to him. I remember I have a friend of the show, I'll say, who was living out of food pantries for a while. And you can get all this stuff, like lentils, right? And like, what the hell? And like, doll? You know, there's more than you can do than just boil and eat them. Mm-hmm. And I have been very poor at different times of my life. So actually, you know what? Tweet at us or email me and ask me if you need advice. If you're trying to get by and stretch your food because there's nothing in your grocery stores, let me know. I can at least hopefully help with some advice so you eat something tasty. So I'm also looking forward to tomorrow. Heresy and Hearsay will be going live at, I believe, 7 p.m. on my channel. That's twitch.tv/9of12. And we are going to be talking about the coronavirus. And Heresy and Hearsay, if none of you have heard it, is a show about religion and politics. So we'll be hitting on some of the morality surrounding this whole apocalyptic nightmare. You can always come watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on most Monday evenings. We skip the first Monday for production meetings, but our next one will be on March 23rd at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Yes. And in addition to subs and bits that we get on Twitch, we are supported by our amazing patrons, the greatest girlfriends on the internet. You can become a patron at patreon.com/grills. Don't forget, if you have an Amazon Prime account, you can sub to us for free every month on Twitch and give us free money. Free money.
Do the thing.
Another way to show your support is by leaving us a review. You can do so on any of your podcast catchers. Leaving a review is free, and they help our ranking, which can help other people find our podcast, which is great. You can also join our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help spread the word.
And where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on the Glitter Dice podcast. You can find me on Twitch under the name Madcap Misc, short for miscellaneous, and on Instagram under Madcap _ Misc, MISC.
Sorry, production things. I can be reached at 9of12, that's NINEOF12, on Twitter and Twitch, and you can hear me on the Heresy and Hearsay podcast. The Gen can be found at The Gen Says on Twitter, streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheGenPlays, and find everything Jen at TheGenSays.com because she owns it. Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
Good game.
GG.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.